How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, June 18th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Howdy.
You know, I love a good howdy. So today, the first thing I want to talk about is something you wrote up, Andrew, that is a interesting app store practice, we'll call it, where it's a sale, but maybe not really a sale.
Yeah. So there's this app called Carbon. It's specifically for black and white photo editing. When you download it, you know, they have this in-app store where you can buy like filters and textures and all this sort of thing. And there's also this option to buy everything. Now, at the top right there, to unlock everything, it says there's this flashing banner that says this sale ends in 35 minutes, but right now we're offering this for 50% off. And the price that they have crossed out says like $40, except that once that 35 minutes ends, nothing happens. And that is because that 50% off of $20 was the real price all along.
So even once it times out, it's the same price.
Yeah. And they emailed me back because I told them this, like, hey, this is not, this seems dishonest to me. And they said, so the full price is $40. We're going to introduce a $20 per year subscription. And at that point, the lifetime option will be raised to $40. So the $20 price is 50% off until that time. Now, if they wanted to do that, that's fine. But that still seems dishonest because it's not like this is some recent thing. I first downloaded this app back in January. Mm-hmm. And it still had this weird sale going on. Mm-hmm. So if they want to raise the price, okay, but calling it a sale when you're some time in the future planning to raise the price seems like false advertising to me.
Well, it is, because it's also not saying that it's introductory pricing or anything like that. Like, your first year is 20 and your second year will be more. You know, half off the first year is very different than we're having a sale.
So. Yeah. Because of that crossed out price, people were thinking, oh, hey, if I hurry up and buy this, I'm getting a good deal.
Right.
Yeah. So Instagram does a lot of ads like that. Right. Yeah. I should say Facebook hosts a lot of ads through Instagram like that, where, and I've seen them also on the interwebs, but I think I've seen them mostly on Instagram because that's a destination that Facebook can control, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to, like, you know, an open web page where, you know, there like will be a product shown. And if you click through for more information, you'll see that there's a countdown for, you know, anywhere from 2 hours to, you know, maybe to be 30 minutes, maybe to be a full day. But, you know, sure enough, there will be the same ad another time. Mm-hmm. That also points to, you know, that also says it's counting down. So I this company isn't breaking ground here. Their
latest in a series,
paddling the muck further out. I don't know if there's some extended metaphor there somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's shady. And I found one, as we were talking about this morning, I found one on my phone that, like when I woke up this morning, it said, hey, there's only so much time left for you to get in on this sale. Send me a push notification and said, you only have so much time left to get half off a year. And by the time I saw the notification, that time had expired. So I went in anyway and looked, and it was the same price after the expiration of the sale that it told me was going to be, you know, oh, it's half off. Mm. And in reality, even if it is half off, like right now, it doesn't indicate that that's a 50% off price. It's just the price.
Yeah. So there's a lesson here. The lesson here is if you're being offered a sale price with a timer countdown, be highly suspicious at best.
Yes.
Or at least be highly suspicious. I imagine that this technique is going to spread. Mm-hmm. And it is, I was likening it to these Facebook ads, but there's a difference between offering some niche product and putting a fake timer on it and actually advertising a supposed sale of your in-app upgrade when it's not a sale. That is definitely an extra layer of scummy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when you go to this app's page, you know, you can scroll down at the bottom and swipe to see all the in-app purchases, and it does list right there that full access for this is $20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's even more obvious that their urgency is unfounded.
I imagine that Apple will do some sort of policy to address this if it becomes more widespread. I hope so, at the very least.
Yeah. Especially because I got a notification that the time was running out on the sale. Push notification from this app that the time was running out. And
same,
after the time ran out...
Same app that Andrew wrote about? Happened.
What?
Same app that Andrew wrote about?
Nope. Different app.
Got it.
But Apple is trying to do something and change the way subscriptions work. I mean, Kelly, you pointed this out on Twitter. It only seems applicable to some apps and not others.
Mm-hmm. That when you purchase something in the guidelines, and I'm not remembering the exact details, but basically, like, the price has to be on the button that you tap on in order to actually make the purchase, to make the dialogue come up and you authenticate so that you can pay for it. The price is supposed to be on that. But for example, in the Calm app, somebody posted a screenshot of it. And in the Calm app, it says, like, you know, if you want to do this, hit continue. And then once you hit continue, then you see all the pricing information. And Apple says it's supposed to be on the button. And Calm is somehow getting away with it not being on the button. And not having the button indicate any sort of pricing, because it just says continue. So, and one thing that we were talking about also, in addition to this, was how does Apple test for that sort of thing, right? I don't know if it's something that you can see in code, like we're going to start a fake timer after you use the app right. The first time or something, and then we're going to send you a notification that says the time's almost out. I don't know how they're doing that. Now, I've used apps that have offered a less expensive option if I get the subscription during a certain amount of time. And a couple of times I've taken advantage of it, and it's been legit. Like once the trial is over, or once that whatever that window is, you know, where I get a better price expires, I can see that if I did it now, excuse me, I can see that if I did it now, that the price would be different. Or I've seen other people who use the same app who said, like, I never bought it, and if I want to do it now, it's more money than what I paid when I got in on the window where they said, hey, you know, it also wasn't like an hour or something, which I think is all the notification I got on the one that I got. So,
yeah.
So I have seen it done legitimately, and that's fine. But like this seems very bait and switchy to me, which I don't appreciate at all.
Well, it's not even bait and switch. It's just false.
Oh, that's true. False urgency. I mean,
I've got no respect for it. I hope that Apple deals with it through policy, because I do think it is something that would be extraordinarily difficult for Apple to test. So yeah. Apple must the only solution for this would probably be Apple forbidding the practice and then, you know, suspending anyone that gets caught doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is harsh. but, you know, if it has to come to this, like, you know, if it's necessary, like, I could get behind it. But at the same time, like, that makes it so that if somebody did want to offer a limited time price or something, you know, legitimately, it might be more difficult for them to do so. And that's the people that are actually getting hurt, which is the reason it's a bummer.
You could open up a Pandora's box of unanticipated ripple effects.
Exactly. So the Apple Store is really, the App Store is really good at, to be fair.
Yeah, and the guidelines that I linked to in my article, it does say something similar to this, not explicitly about fake sales, but it says scam apps will be removed, apps that attempt to trick users into buying a subscription under false pretenses or engage in bait and switch practices will be removed.
Well, that's a false pretense. Time's running out on a sale.
Is it a subscription or is it an upgrade?
It's an upgrade.
Yeah, so a few words would handle this. Nonetheless, be suspicious if you see something being added, being offered to you for a limited time, and there's a countdown clock. It's the internet. They're not limiting themselves. I mean, there were exceptions, right? The original Woot, where was a product, and there was that product was the deal of the day, and when that day is over, it's gone. But, if you're seeing a countdown timer, be suspicious.
Yeah. Skepticism at a minimum. It's a good policy on that kind of thing. And if this gets changed, I'm sure Andrew will tell us all about it, and I would be happy to have him back to discuss it. But in the meantime, I would like to talk a little bit about Libra, which is a new cryptocurrency that we're hearing about. And Facebook wants to get in on this kind of action. So, Brian, I want to start with you. Give us a quick definition for people who may not be familiar of what exactly is cryptocurrency.
So cryptocurrency is a currency that is usually built on top of a blockchain, and a blockchain is an open ledger that is accessible by anyone, usually maintained by a volunteer network of computers who do math to check over the encryption to maintain the integrity of the network and are rewarded with new units of that cryptocurrency in exchange for doing so.
Okay.
So that's sort of what that's like the 10,000 foot view maybe of what a cryptocurrency is.
Sure.
But it exists only digitally. Mm-hmm. It is usually built on a blockchain. I can't actually think of any that aren't. It is the blockchain aspect that is the innovative thing that was brought to life when Bitcoin was first launched.
Okay. So that was the first thing I was going to say, is that if most people, if they've heard of cryptocurrency, it would be Bitcoin, which is the most commonly known probably of all of them.
It certainly is the most well-known cryptocurrency for sure.
Right. And there are others. There are many others.
There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cryptocurrencies, most of which are dead or scams or long forgotten and, whatever. There are probably, though, dozens of legitimate cryptocurrencies. There's probably at least a dozen current cryptocurrencies that are doing something that could be useful.
Okay.
And that may even include Facebook's new Libra project.
Okay.
It may, but it doesn't. Libra is this cryptocurrency that Facebook is backing, and it's using their own proprietary blockchain implementation. Mm-hmm. And it's being maintained not by a network of volunteer computers, but rather by a network of computers that are blessed by Facebook. And when I say blessed by Facebook, they've paid $10 million a piece for the right to do so. But what that means is that it's not... I so tried not to cough.
It's okay.
So yeah, it's not, I forget where it was. It is not this volunteer node of, computers. It is blessed computers, which kind of is a little bit, against the idea of an open ledger, and, could mean that the blockchain could be subject to manipulation, but you know, that remains to be seen. I'm sure that there will be people who are poring over whatever kind of information that Facebook release. This is all being done under the auspices of a independent group that has been set up by Facebook for this purpose. But Facebook will also be operating a wallet called Calibra. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that it's called Calibra, that will be operating off of the Libra cryptocurrency, and Calibra will eventually be used to offer a variety of financial services to people, and that's where things become both interesting and I would argue scary, but you know, your mm-hmm. mileage certainly may vary. And I might also add that Libra is going to be backed by a basket of various government-issued currencies, as well as, what did they call it? Low-risk securities. A basket of currencies and low-risk securities from various countries. And the intention is to keep the value of Libra stable, as opposed to the wild fluctuations that Bitcoin and the other... if I can call them traditional cryptocurrencies, mm-hmm. have experienced. And so really what this is about is Facebook wanting to compete with WeChat. Believe it or not, this is where this conversation is going. Wanting to compete with WeChat and being able to do peer-to-peer transactions and then peer-to-business transactions with its own currency that it creates and controls.
Okay.
That's really what this is about.
So, Andrew, I think you had a theory about why Facebook would want to do this with their own currency instead of the Apple Pay system, which is money that you already have, and we're just going to facilitate that transaction for you in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is that theory?
My theory is... it sounds like, from what I've read, Facebook might have access to your entire transaction history using Calibra, because this sentence in their white paper says, the Libra blockchain is a single data structure that records the history of transactions and states over time. Now, Facebook has already tried doing this. They approached the banks and said, hey, will you give us the financial data of all of our users? Thankfully, the bank said no. So the way I see it, this is just Facebook circumventing them and building their own system.
Well, yes. I imagine
this would be great for advertising.
Yeah, but okay. But, Facebook has said very specifically they won't be, that your financial transactions will not be used to sell you, you ads. That this is what they say. Whether or not that's actually true remains to be seen, and whether or not, even if it is true, that it stays true also remains to be seen, and by which I mean, of course, it'll happen.
Well, and show you ads is only one thing Facebook does or desires to do with your data, right? So this may not have anything to do with advertising, and it may just be, do you want to know how many people use... there was an article that asked why they didn't call them Facebooks, which is basically what I want to call them now all the time. So, mm-hmm. like, yeah, sure, they may not use it to sell, like, for advertising on my particular Facebook account, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to go, hey, cute things from Japan, do you want to know how many people used Facebooks to pay for their stuff with you? Like, we have hard numbers on how many transactions that is or anything like that, like, and being able to mine that data for others in order to do something else with it that benefits Facebook and not me.
Well, I think I really think that this Libra play is much bigger than data and much bigger than ads. Fantastic quote from Kevin Wheel, vice president of Facebook, product at Facebook, who said, quote, "This has no intention of substituting itself for the large central banks." Now, if you just give that a cursory listen, you're thinking to yourself, they're saying that they don't want to substitute themselves for large banks. But no, mm-hmm. large central banks, meaning the Federal Reserve, meaning the I forget what Germany's central bank is. They're saying that we're not intending to supplant national currencies. You don't say that unless that's exactly what you're planning to do. Okay. WeChat has their app, and then you can send money to each other within WeChat. So it's similar to the way Apple Pay Cash works for Apple customers, but you're doing that all within the auspices of a central currency, the yuan for WeChat, and ostensibly dollars for Apple. Facebook is basically wanting to do the same thing, but with its own currency. Mm-hmm. And that is what this play is about. And then at the same time, they want to become essentially the banking services for, you know, potentially billions of people, especially in users in emerging markets in the third world that don't necessarily have access to traditional banking services. Mm-hmm. And they're doing and they can do this and control it if they're using their own cryptocurrency, as opposed to simply piggybacking off the dollar, the euro, the yuan, whatever.
And then they have the added bonus of look at us and the great thing that we're doing by letting all these people do banking with Facebook.
Yeah. And because really the debate hasn't recently been, does Facebook have too much power? Oh, wait, it has. That's exactly what the debate has been. So
I'm like, wait a minute.
I have zero interest in giving Facebook this kind of control. No. Zero interest. Zero. I'm a huge cryptocurrency nerd. This does not excite me one little tiny bit.
And I don't think it should. And I think it's two of the biggest things are things that you talked about. First of all, the thing that powers a lot of cryptocurrency is the openness of that ledger being available. And right. And with this, it's absolutely not. Because it's $10 million a whack per computer.
Well, the ledger may or may not be available. I actually don't know how open the ledger is. What is not open is the encryption protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the part that's not open, and that's a bit worrisome. But they're not the first cryptocurrency to do that either. They're also not the first cryptocurrency to be tied something close to the dollar. Ripple was tied to the dollar. I'm not really sure what Ripple's doing these days. But, you know, Facebook is bringing a bunch of stuff together, and it could leave Facebook with an enormous amount of power throughout the world and supplanting banking institutions, or in the case of the emerging markets in the third world, becoming the banking institutions. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Which is a concerning thing. I mean, and everyone should be considering, I think, going forward. So that's why we wanted to talk about it. So Andrew, thanks for bringing this to our attention. And Brian, thanks so much for coming by to talk to us about it. I appreciate that you sat and told us all about cryptocurrency today.
In the words of Felix the Cat,
radio.
Andrew, thanks for coming by to talk to us about fake sales and this Facebook cryptocurrency.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. That's going to do it for today. So in the meantime, be excellent to each other.